So yeah, we're in that time of year where all the Christmas readings are coming out, and it's those familiar readings. And hopefully as we look at those things today, we might just have eyes opened in a different way and maybe see things just a little bit differently. Last week, Ruth spoke to us about the star and led us on a path looking at the universe and the solar system and all those kind of things. And today, the theme is the VIP carpenter. Hopefully there's a PowerPoint, Paul, somewhere. So it's the VIP carpenter that we're looking at today. It's one of those days today. My brain needs to engage later for the Christingle. I hope it does. Right. So we're thinking about VIPs. Now, I wonder if you've ever met a VIP. I wonder if any of you ever met a really very important person. I've met one or two. Hopefully the next picture might show something. There you go. There's me with a very important person. Who said boo? Oh, Evertonians, get out. Anyway, there you go. Right. So, yeah, very important person. Well, to some, he is a very important person. Stephen used to be a pupil at the school where I taught. That was in my teaching days, obviously, in Highton. And he was a pupil there. Obviously, I wasn't a teacher at the time, but he was a pupil and used to come back regularly to see the school. And his cousins were in the football team, and he used to pop in regularly. And when he did, it was always my duty to say hello and to meet and greet. And I had a number of one-to-one conversations with him in the staff room, which was great fun. And in fact, my season ticket used to be right where the dugout is, and often when he was coming down the tunnel, he'd have a little hello and a wave and stuff. So I got to know him, which was great. But there you go. The world seems obsessed with VIPs and with celebrities. Who's watched I'm a Celebrity? No one. Did no one watch I'm a Celebrity? Come on, you're just too, you don't want to say it. Lots of people watched I'm a Celebrity. The world is obsessed with celebrities. Now, in our passage this morning, which is a very familiar one that Janet read to us, as we're approaching Christmas, we find the names of a couple of VIPs in that passage. Now, had there been glossy magazines, had there been the internet or 24-hour TV or anything like that back then, these were the people who would have been splattered all over the press, all over everything. You would have seen these VIPs. First up, there is Caesar Augustus. There he is, the picture of him there. Caesar Augustus. He was a very, very powerful man. The most powerful man in the world at the time. The Roman forces obviously occupied most of the then known world. And he was the head. He was the leader of the world, basically, in the then known time. That's power. That's a very important person. When he spoke, people listened and people obeyed and did what he said. Second, there's the man with the name that I felt sorry for Janet today. She got it. Whenever you get the Christmas reading, someone has to pronounce Quirinius. It's one of those difficult words to say. Oh no, big words in the Bible reading. Quirinius. Whilst not as important as Caesar, Quirinius was the governor of Syria. And so he was a little bit down the line in the chain of command, but still he was the governor of a sizable area. He was an important man, a powerful man. And yet I want to suggest that the VIPs in God's eyes are actually the people who weren't on the world's radar. They weren't famous, they weren't rich, and they weren't powerful. But they were there in our reading today. Did you see them? They were traveling from Nazareth to Bethlehem. A young lady, heavily pregnant, with her husband-to-be by her side. And then when they reach Bethlehem, they can't even find a room to stay for the night. That's not real VIP treatment, is it? And yet there's a hint to their importance. Joseph, we read, is described as being, and it says these, from the house and the lineage of David. Do you remember when the angel Gabriel announced to Mary that although she's not married, she will have a baby boy? And it says these words, who shall be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end. the baby born in a stable, or actually it was probably a cave dug out in a rock face, was wrapped in cloths and laid in a feeding trough. And this baby is none other than the Son of God, the Savior of the world, the true King. Not Augustus, not Quirinius, he was the true King, born in backwater Bethlehem to very poor parents. Parents, by the way, who would soon be seeking refuge and asylum in another country. Ring any bells? But it was an event that the world missed, apart from just a few lowly shepherds and a few wise men. The world missed this most amazing event. And what does this event have to say to us? Well, how many times do we do things, and how many times do we expect to be given credit for the things that we do? How many times do we expect the VIP treatment because of what we've been doing, or because of what we do, or because of how we serve in some way? We so often make subtle hints at the things that we've been up to, hoping that someone will recognize us for our actions and for our deeds. And maybe sometimes those subtle hints are not so subtle or quiet. Maybe they're quite big, loud hints that say, look at what I've been doing. Look at me. Look how important I am in this place. Sometimes we long for the recognition and we long for credit. And yet here is the most amazing thing that ever happened in the history of the world, and hardly anybody is aware it happened. The word grace comes to mind. And maybe we need to hear again the message of grace and what it means to show grace in our own lives as well as those who receive it from us. And so as we reflect on this amazing scene, let's think about the shepherds for a minute. The shepherds, they were men who were living as outcasts in society. They lived on the hills with their sheep, and they ranked as the lowest of the low in society. They lived in the fields with their sheep. They had nothing at all, and they expected nothing from others. They certainly didn't expect VIP treatment, and yet these lowly shepherds, they were the very first to hear the good news. And they were the very first to see the Savior of the world. Just imagine that. Mary and Joseph, expecting this baby out of wedlock, out of marriage. Very soon, had Joseph not taken Mary on in her state, being pregnant as an unmarried mother, very soon Mary would have been made an outcast from society. Joseph took her on. That took a huge step of faith. But here they are, expecting this baby. Outcasts from their community. They were ordinary people with ordinary lives. They would not expect the VIP treatment. And then into this ordinary scene, the most extraordinary thing happened. God reached down and became flesh. The God who flung the stars into space, who created the world and all the people in it, he became flesh himself. Born of a young girl, 16 years old, a homeless outcast. It's not the kind of place you'd expect the Son of God to be born, is it? The King of Kings to be born. Into the hands of this young woman and this young man, God placed the most precious gift the world has ever seen. Now that is some huge responsibility for just an ordinary person to take on, isn't it? And still today, God uses ordinary men and women, people like you and me, to do amazing things in his name and for his glory. I could list a whole load of amazing Christian men and women up and down the ages who have done amazing things that have changed the world. I could list loads of them. Mother Teresa, William Wilberforce, big names, there's loads of them that I could name that have changed society and the world. But you know what? I could add to that name every single one of us sat here, Ken, Joan, Betts, Nikki, Paul, Liz, anyone who's prepared to step out and to serve the Lord in any way. God uses ordinary people to do extraordinary things. I wonder, are you open to that? Have you asked God, who came into the world as a tiny baby, have you asked him into your life? Because when you do that, he changes us. And when he changes us, he uses us. And he can use you and he can use me for his glory's sake. People who said yes to him, they're the true VIPs. They're the true ones who make a difference. Bishop Paul, in his message, said, brothers and sisters, it's you and me that make a difference. Those of us who say yes to Christ and then allow him to use us, we make the difference. And I just want to look very, very briefly, I don't want to prattle on for too long, but I want to look very, very briefly at Joseph. Who the title of this talk is The VIP Carpenter. I always feel sorry for Joseph. I think he gets a bit of a rum deal. In the nativity story, we hear about the angels, and when you get the children at the front, all the lovely angels, and you have the shepherds, and we have the wise men, and then we have Mary, who holds the little baby doll. And poor old little Joseph just sat there, isn't he? Stood there. Not a very big part. We often forget about Joseph. We hear of him in the nativity stories in our Bible passage. We don't hear of him after that very much at all. We don't hear at all about Joseph. What an amazing man he must have been. What an amazing man. He's only young. What an amazing bloke, first of all, to take on Mary in her pregnant state with a child that wasn't his. He took her on. He didn't need to, but he took Mary on. That shows immense courage and immense faith, because the angel came and spoke to him and said, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife. He listened to the angel and he stepped out in faith. Now that takes massive courage. I'm not sure many of the men sat in here would have the guts to do that in society in that day. I'm not sure we would have done. He did. What huge courage and what huge faith to follow God's call on his life and to sacrifice his life so that he could bring up this child and to show love and care for a child that wasn't his. And his carpenter's hands that were skilled at shaping wood, at shaping things and making things, those carpenter's hands became skilled in bringing up the Son of God. What an amazing, amazing man he must have been, that he had a part in actually bringing up Jesus Christ and turning Jesus Christ into the man that he became. He had a role to play in that. An immense man of courage and an immense man of faith. And what a huge example to each one of us. Sometimes we need to step out in faith. If he hadn't done that, I wonder what would have happened. I wonder what would have happened if Joseph had said no. So many times we say no to God. So many times we hold back. And when we hold back, we don't allow God space. When we hold back, we don't allow the Lord time or space to move. Because it's when we step out of our comfort zone, it's when we step out in faith and we step out from that comfort zone that actually we're vulnerable. And then in our weakness, God is made strong. In our weakness, God comes to the fore, and it's his strength that carries us through. Sometimes we need to step out of the comfort zone in order to let God in and in order to let God work. I wonder, when did you last step out of your comfort zone? When did you last allow God to do something big and radical in your life? Joseph was an amazing example to us. Sometimes we need to follow the examples of wonderful leaders. He was a true VIP. I wonder, are we open and are we willing to let God make us VIPs for his service? Let's pray together. Father, as we reflect on the Christmas story once again and we read those passages, Lord, that we're so familiar with and we see every year, perhaps, Lord, this year as we read them afresh, Lord, give us open eyes and open hearts, maybe to see things differently, maybe to hear things differently. And as we do that, Lord, allow us to be changed by your Holy Spirit. Allow us, Lord, to be shaped by you. Lord, that as Joseph stepped out in faith, we too might step out in faith. We too might be courageous and bold in our faith. And then we too might see great things happen in this place. So Lord, would you allow us to follow his example and to become the VIPs that you want us to be? Because we ask it in your name. Amen.